Hey guys, this is Corey Parker, Supercoach God, and you are listening to the Supercoach Champions podcast.
Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. The team lists are in. We've had one best 13 bye round under our belt, and that wasn't so bad. So round 16 should be a breeze, right? Not according to a mate of mine whose meticulous bye planning for this week included names like Moses, Katoa, Robson, Welsh and Marju. It's enough to make a grown man cry. Joining me tonight is a man who got all his crying done before we started recording. It's the defending champ, Matt. How are you, mate?
Good, mate, good. Well, I'm obviously better than that fine gentleman or lady, but yeah, look, their team that they're missing has probably got more upside than the guys I've got this week.
Yeah, it's a work, mate, and the texts were flying thick and fast when the Origin teams were named and then when Marju missed and all that kind of stuff, mate. So I think he's got six or seven this week pre-trade. So anyway, there's got to be lots of listeners out there in similar, maybe not quite as bad a situation. We'll walk you through some of the options for round 16. Do have a point of order though, mate. I made a point of calling you the defending champ, Matt. In the podcast earlier this week, you and Wilf were talking and he just assumed that you weren't going to repeat, mate. He was just talking about the next guy who's going to win it and you've only got until round 27. I mean, disrespectful or what?
No, facts, mate, facts. He mentioned, I think might have been 2 weeks before that I'd thrown up the white flag. I think that was a little disrespectful. I've maybe transitioned my hopes and dreams to more of a head-to-head type season. But, looking at some of the, I think, first might have put 800 points on me, and I don't think my season's going that poorly, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's good to know, mate, in the stages of grieving, you're at acceptance. So we've got an interesting pod coming up for you. We'll crunch some numbers, we'll talk captains, and we'll answer some questions as well. So let's get to it. Okay, now to crunching the numbers, sponsored by Carmagra Accounting. If you want to make sure you're not fudging the numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. So, mate, I'm going to sign you up to go on the deep dive here. What do you got for us this week?
Now, firstly, if crunching the numbers is your favorite segment, it's mostly because you're listening to Wilf. I'm going to give it my best crack, but he's given me some pointers here. And I guess it's interesting you mentioned early, Joe, about round 13 being the first time we've seen the top 13 scorers count. And it's interesting when you look at it where a lot of that ceiling lies. If we look back to round 13, the top scorer of 138 is our friend who can't catch a bus, Greg Marju. Second, DWZ with 128. Isaiah Tass, 119. Drinky, 117. And that's pretty much where the high ceilings end. And in terms of those guys, we had Marju at 17.8% rostered and Asako up at 32.8. But the other five guys that got tons were very low ownership. Jacob Little, I'd be surprised if they're not ghost teams at 0.8%. Drinky at 2.8. There's not a lot of high ownership there. Hopewadi.
And Tass as well. So, yeah, it's interesting that, you know, we talked up. We didn't really know how the best 13 format was going to go. But we definitely talked up in the lead up to it that this is basically old school buy planning. This is when you can really get moving in the ranks. And it seems from round 13 that the way to go is kind of maybe not super pods, but definitely pod options.
Yeah, look, if we look at the top 20 scorers for that round, we had six wingers, two centers, three fullbacks, one hooker, four halves, and only four forwards. Out of those four forwards, there was one prop, two edges and a lock. So I think, yeah, you're right. It's down the bottom of your screen looking at your backs and some high upside players is probably going to be the way to go this round if 13 had anything to go by.
Yeah, for sure, mate. So it's an interesting round, isn't it? I mean, it's definitely worth doing some research into lower rostered options. Wingers and halves, obviously, you called out as the boom options for round 16, mate. What are the call outs for you?
There's some interesting ones. We touched on him last night quickly, Ryan Madison. It's quite polarizing having him at six, but he's only 2% owned. Will Kennedy, you've got to wait till Sunday afternoon, but it's a dream matchup against the your beloved Dogs. He's only 6.9% owned. Drinky, if we think he can go buy round back to back, 2.9. Look, I think Gagai was unlucky to miss a Queensland jersey. He's only 1.1. Dejan Arce, I'm sure this will go up before kickoff, but he's at 0.1. A guy that I like, Will Panasini, 6.8%. So that's definitely in the pod range.
Yeah, probably not the ceiling of some of the other options you're talking about, but pretty amazing base. And obviously, we don't need to go into more detail about how great the Eels buy schedule is. So, yeah, it's the kind of thing. I know we joked about kind of your aspirations going back to back, mate, but it really is. We're more than halfway through the year now. And I think if you're going to make a move, you got to make big splashes. And it's weeks like this really going the pod option away. Lots of people bring Ponga in, for example. Maddo's back. Now, Maddo at 5'8 doesn't sound like an especially appealing option, but is he the guy that you get on a week or two earlier than everyone else and you catch the jump? So, yeah, are there any really super left field options that you've got, mate?
I think there's two really interesting guys. And when you look at, you've got three trades, and if people have a boost and want to make a run at it, you've got four. So potentially for a downgrade with one of those trades to free up cash to make three big guns in, you've got two guys that are probably, well, two guys of interest. They're averaging very well at the present, probably going to be one and done guys, not going to be AEs. You got Sammy Valame for the Cowboys coming up against Penrith. We spoke last night, not going to be a super high quality game of football, but he did score 114 in his game. He will only play round 16. However, there's a gentleman for your beloved Doggies on the wing, averaging 95.5, and he'll be a potential one and done, well, two and done, 16 and 19, and then float off into the abyss at, old mate Burns.
And Braden Burns has flirted with kind of, he's had patches, obviously he keeps getting injured, which is the issue, but he's had patches where he's been in gun range in the centre wing as well. So he's kind of an each-way bet, I think. 0.3% owned, but he's the best part of 100 points in his two games. I know Cronulla's going to score a lot of points, but I think the Dogs put a lot of points on Cronulla too. It does have a real shootout feel for it this week. So, again, if you're sitting 5,000th, if you're sitting 3,000th, you know, you're 800-ish points behind, 1,000 points behind. I mean, these are the moves you need to make if you want to, you know, it's one thing if you would just want to have a respectable score at the end of the year, but if you really want to push, you know, these are the kind of things that you need to do.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Like, well, I'll probably have to, based in the glory of last year, or bathe, sorry, with before one of the big buys, I brought in three guns, and that sort really just pushed my season along. So I do like the idea of one downgrade, free up some extra cash and bring in three guns. You've got some that Cronulla game obviously looks very tempting, and you've got some guys that can be season-long keepers. I'm sure we'll touch on them. But
yeah, no, interesting stuff. All right, guys. Well, get in contact with Carl as Tax Time's here. Get him to do your tax return and legally maximise your tax refund, whether it's a basic tax return or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on share trading or crypto trading. Don't do crypto trading. Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. Okay, guys. Might be a very short segment, but it's time to talk captains.
Good morning, Captain.
Speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right, mate. Possibly the most obvious captain of all time. Pretty much the best player in the game. Essentially the best super coach player in the comp. Somehow missed Origin. Up against a team that's just hemorrhaging points. Nicho Hynes, pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, mate, throw in a day game at PointsBet Stadium Sunday afternoon. He's probably going to be wearing a blue jersey of some colour, not the one that us Queenslanders would have feared him wearing in the coming sort of 10 days. But yeah, it's got to be that guy. There's no, well, everybody else is off at Origin, right? It's got to be him.
Yeah. So obviously in the previous segment, we talked a lot about, you know, this is when you got to make pod choices, and that's not necessarily as it relates to trades. It's obviously in your captaincy choice as well. The issue I've got is that any other option, you're probably just falling behind, you know, based on averages. But we've got, you know, a pretty much a free hit with the VC, with the way this buy round set up. Not too many with more than 13, but even so, no one's got more than 17 that they won't select, and that there's no danger there. So there are a few interesting VC options, mate, for the I guess an intellectual exercise. Who's jumping out at you?
Look, the few of them sort of sit on the trade-in list, and I'd be going that way if I had them. I think Ponga is an interesting shout. He had a great game last week, and I see him and Reece Walsh posed for a photo after the game, but I'm sure there's still a small part of him that wishes he was playing next Wednesday night. I'd be keen to jump on Ponga again, a day game. He has that high ceiling. He could score 30, but he also could go well into the hundreds. Similar, the guy lining up against him in the number one jersey, he has not showed it yet, but buy rounds last year were his bread and butter. So I would be quite comfortable throwing the VC on Joey Manu. Mm-hmm. It's almost look on from there. I don't know if you've got any other names, Joe. I can't see anyone else.
Well, this is the problem, right? Because I know I said it's a bit of an intellectual exercise, but if you're going to try and make the VC a genuine option this week, it's got to be someone that can go your 150 plus ceiling. And I guess the two guys you just spoke about have proven that they can do that. This might be Manu's only game before back for the year. And certainly for owners, next week's a challenge because he probably goes back to center, which isn't so good. But, you know, trying to make hay while the sun shines, it's a pretty good matchup. The problem is just the Roosters are broken. You know, they've got the worst attack in the comp. Does that actually open the door to revert back to hero ball? I don't know. I've got Manu tossing up bringing Ponga in. It is a revenge game of a kind that he wants to prove. And his form's been really good. I mean, he was the best player on the ground. Make no mistake about it in that game against the Bronx. So there's the Guthos, there's the Dylan Edwards. I know Wilf's put a shout in for Matto or Hopgood here. None of those interest me remotely because their ceiling isn't 150 plus. So I guess the question is, okay, no matter who your VC is, if it's Manu, if it's Ponga, if it's one of the other options, what score would tempt you to actually take the armband off Nico?
Now, is this nothing more than intellectual exercise? I don't think anyone's going high enough, really. But
yeah,
look, any other buy round, I think you take sort of 90, a bird in the hands, better than, now that's, I don't even know the rest of the same.
Two in the bush, I think, yeah.
That's the one, that's the one. But look, I think realistically against the Dogs, that beautiful wet-haired man could go anywhere. So I'd need 150 to me to sort of think of maybe 130 you're thinking, but 200 you're taking it. 150 you're really, really considering it. What about you, mate?
Yeah, it's 130 you're thinking about it. 150 you're probably doing it. I mean, yes, the argument is, well, he's only scored 43 in a team that got flogged last week. Well, you know, Melbourne is not the Bulldogs at PointsBet. You know, again, I love the Doggies. They are trending upwards, but they're a desperately young side that has a lot of injuries, and they just have moments where the whole team switches off, and teams put, you know, bunches of tries in short succession on them. And just from the law of averages, I mean, Cronulla did score a few points last week. It's just that Hines wasn't in and amongst it. So we know, based on a year and a half playing in that role in Cronulla, that if he does have anything resembling a dud game, and look, 43, I mean, we've both had captains made in single figures before, right? So it's not like 43 is an utter disaster, but law of averages would suggest he's going to get his hands on the ball a lot more in try scoring areas. So yeah, 130, you're thinking about it. 150, you're probably doing it. And I know that sounds weird in a free hit buy round situation where, like you said, anything north of 90, you're probably banking the points. But it's just the matchup. It's the situation where he's going to want to, you know, prove to Freddie that he's made a mistake. all the things, all signs is pointing towards Nico having a monster game. And look, there are a few people that traded Nico out assuming he was going to be unavailable for 16 and 19. He's a priority purchase, right? I know we're talking about, you know, must-haves in the next segment, but if you're serious about Supercoach, the armband at least has to start the week on Nico.
Yeah, yeah. If you're serious about Supercoach and you don't have him in, like, get him captain him. In all seriousness, he's averaging 93.6 and he's played 16 games and not all of them have been a day game against the Dogs. So to expect him to go sub 100, I think you're a brave man. So
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, well, I think that, probably the shortest captaincy chat, but at the same time, we couldn't be more clear on the way you should go. Let's hope there's no egg on our face next week. So, but let's go into some strategy.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, bit of a deep dive on strategy. Obviously, the panic around, these big buy rounds alleviated a little bit, given that we understand how the best 13 works now, and we kind of had one chance at navigating it, mate. But a lot of teams still sub 13. A lot of teams struggling to get to 13, even max trading. So, who are the must-have guys for the buy round? Do you think?
I think a lot of them you've got to wait till Sunday afternoon for, to be honest, because now that we're round 16, I don't know if everyone else's trades are looking as slim as mine, but you've got to be careful getting in guys just for a short-term play. I think if you're bringing in, say, 3-4 trades, you want at least 2-3, even not 4 of them to be keepers. So I think there's dudes like Britton Okora. I don't know if any of these guys are must-have, Joe. I think we throw must-have around a little loosely, but
yeah,
Britton Okora got a yes from me. Mulatalo, look, he's a yes. I don't know where else you go. If you brought in Moses last week and you've already got Hines, do you keep Moses or do you jump ship? Jerome Hughes looked good last week. They got the Tigers. Yeah, you scroll up the page to different games and no one's jumping out. Like, you got the Pongers and Manus. I got not much more than that, mate.
Yeah, probably I'm with you, mate. I hate saying must have because absolutely not. No one is a must have because must have or what? but we've obviously waxed lyrical about Nico as close to a must have. That's him for this week. Understanding that you need to navigate the round 17 bye with, Sharks, Tigers, Bulldogs on the bye. Let's expand the definition of must have a little bit to say, okay, you've got 4 center wings. A must-have, I guess, falls into the 4, but let's expand it to, I guess, the top 6 or 7, where they're not necessarily a must-have, but you need to have 4 of this group of guys, similar with second row. So when you do expand that, you mentioned Ronaldo. I mean, is he a guy that if you're bringing in this week, or Nakora, you're essentially locking them in for the rest of the year? They are in your final team.
Yeah, both of those guys are a lock for me, bringing them in this week. You've got the high upside this week and into the rest of the season. I remember sitting here this time last year and the Sharks had a good run home. I think they've been sort of kissed on the proverbial again, and 2 attacking guys with probably Nico Hines with a fire in his belly. That sort of bodes well for both of those dudes. Looking at fullbacks, I know Nick Meaney, the number 2 fan in the country, is Nick Meaney a must-have?
I think he's in that group of centre wings, and we will go into a bit of a tier list with them a bit later, but I think he is, again, with the expanded definition of must-have, he's in that 6-7 group of centre wings. So, again, if you're bringing Meaney in this week, you essentially should be committing to him for the run home unless, for some ungodly reason, you've kind of got 20 trades or something like that sitting there. I think if you're spending this amount of money at this time of year for these players, I think you're essentially locking them in for your run home. And I guess a player that I would say falls out of that category for me, because I don't think, it's in the halfback role, I don't think he's a top kind of 3 or maybe even 4 halfback, and that's Jerome Hughes, who is one of the most popular trade-ins this week. I just don't think he's a guy that is in most people's idea of what a final team looks like.
Yeah, it seems like a shiny toy, and I feel like it's people that have potentially brought in Moses in the recent weeks for buy coverage and have sort of that's out the window now. So they're scrambling to try and recover that position. I think potentially accept the fact you made a mistake there or Freddie's made a mistake, whoever, and just go back to wait till Cleary's back. Get Hines if you don't have him, but get your two halfbacks for the run home. Don't waste too many trades there. You've gone to Moses. Don't go to Hughes and then back to Cleary. You just don't have the trades for that.
Yeah, at 590 with a break-even of 32, yes, he's coming off the 119, but there's just too many scores with Hughes, and this is by virtue of the fact, you know, with the Storm, they share the points around because there's so much talent in the team. But is he a Moses? Is he a Hines? Is he a Cleary? He's not. So you're essentially spending 600 grand for a guy that doesn't play the round 19 bye. He does play this week, and if we're being serious, he's just not in your final team. So again, if you've been way more disciplined than any of us on the podcast with your trades, and you can just afford to throw him around, yeah, sure, you know, take a flyer. But he's actually not that much of a pod now. He's kind of going to be into the double figures and climbing as we get closer to the week. So yeah, when we talked about pods earlier, we were kind of, you know, 1-2, 3%. You know, with the kind of pods we're talking about, not the 10-15%. So that's just my logic with him.
Yeah, it's not the world's greatest round for bringing in keepers. Other than the Sharks, I don't know who else there is. I was looking for someone potentially in the front row, and there is just – it is a wasteland if you had to bring someone in this week in the front row.
I'm punting on the front row. I have literally zero. I've got 14 players for the week. None of them are in any of the four front row positions, and I'm just not bothering because I'd just be trading a guy out there I wanted to bring in later down the track. So yeah, I think again, in the expanded definition of your must-haves, you know, I think Ronaldo is probably on the fringe of that top six or seven centre wing. So again, if you're going to commit to him this week, you got enough numbers for next week, then he's in your team for the run home. Nakora the same. Pong is an interesting one though, mate, because obviously we don't need to talk about the concussion risk. He's not playing Origin. He's also not playing 19, but he is rounding into form and is pretty reasonably priced.
He is a good price. And with the I go back 2 weeks, there was solidity in the 5-8 who you had. Like Dylan Brown was killing it and Cody Walker was on fire. Well, both of them are out this week, and Ponga brings you that dual position flexibility there. So I would say 10 days ago, I wouldn't be looking at Ponga for the run home. But, you could definitely slot him in there for someone like Dylan Brown. Who knows when he'll be back, and say he does come back, you move on or throw him down to fullback there. But, I like Ponga the more closer we get to game day. I think Ponga's looking better.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, so we've talked about round 17, you know, plenty, or at least we've foreshadowed it. Sharks, Tigers, Bulldogs on the bye. We kind of did this exercise coming into round 13 as well, mate, when you've got to balance the fact that you want these guys for this week, but you need to have an exit strategy if, you know, you've got a handful of Origin players who may not back up as well, mate. So talk us through what your threshold is for having guys on the bye next week and maybe if you lump them in with your Origin players as well.
It's not dissimilar to sort of the discussions we had before round 14. You've got that one team where a lot of the must-haves or better players sit, being the Sharks. If you've got more than one Tiger in Jareem the Dream, I don't know what you're looking at. Oh, maybe you've got Bateman, but yeah, Not many people are going to be missing some Tigers. And then the Doggies, maybe you might have Kuraz. I don't know. A lot of people have Preston. I reckon limiting yourself to no more than sort of five at the max, because you are going to see some more restings, especially after the three soft tissue injuries we saw out of Origin 1 on the backup. I think some clubs are going to be a little gun shy with sending guys out who play big minutes. So, look, I'd be looking no more than five, and obviously very team specific.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just very easily – I mean, and it is easy to dismiss the Bulldogs, of course, from a Supercoach perspective, but Preston very highly owned, Harrison Edwards highly owned, Kuraz, you know, was highly owned and is kind of becoming a little bit more in fashion, you know, due to his price. That's three. You know, Buller, most people have him. Bateman, very popular as well. And then you go to your Sharks, Nicara, Hines, Ronaldo, and then whoever you want to pick, you know, some of the outside backs that are a mix of popular owned. I mean, we're talking kind of 7, 8, 9 out of there that we want a max 5 of. Then you've got your origin players, your Harry Grants, your Payne Haases, et cetera, et cetera. You got injuries, and then you've kind of got your borderline nuffs. I mean, God, I've still got Ben Trbojevic in my side. So obviously very team-specific, but, I mean, that idea we were talking about a few weeks ago where you treat 13 and 14 as one mega round, that's probably what the approach you need to take with 16 and 17 as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You only have 25 guys to start with. You throw in two nuffs, three guys on the origin backup, you're down to 20. So any more than three on the bye, you're going to have to burn some trades, aren't you?
Yeah, and, you know, just looking ahead to round 17, you know, it's not too bad. But if you're, you know, the Roosters and Canberra play late, so, you know, if you're a Teddy owner, it's late Sunday. Plenty of Cowboys origin players. You got Souths playing on the Sunday as well, Broncos and Gold Coast. So you won't know until right at the end of the round when the majority of origin players, whether they're actually going to back up or not. So, you know what the Murphy's Law is, mate. If you've got an origin player you're desperate to have to back up to make 17 for next week, then inevitably, you know, they'll get a last-minute rest. So I'd err on the side of having a number less this week, because you've got to field the best 17 next week rather than the 13.
Yeah, agree. Man, I don't think the scores, I know the first bye round there was some big scores out there. Look, other than Nico getting you 400 as your captain, I don't think there's going to be a lot of other players sort of scoring mid scores that are highly owned. You might get some high ceilings with high owned guys, with Hines, maybe Nicara, maybe your Manus, but that's sort of 60 to 80 points, highly owned guys, I don't think they're going to be there this week.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. All right, mate. Well, got a couple of listener questions, both patrons asking on the Discord as well. And I know Wilf gives it a plug every week, but, you know, if you do join the Patreon, get access to the Discord. It's a lot of lively debate, heaps of helpful information, and it's kind of my Bible throughout the week for sense checks with this stuff. This question comes from Reese. Can you rank the following wingers in terms of keepers for the run home? So specific to his team, Meany, Mulitalo, Sivo, and Pennacini. So Wilf has kind of interjected. He's got Ronaldo, then Meany, then Pennacini, then Sivo. What's your read on it?
I really hate agreeing with Wilf, to be honest.
But yeah, me too.
Unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to agree here, mate. Please don't make it three votes.
Yeah, I mean, Mulitalo, just for the fact that he's playing for the Sharks this week against the Bulldogs. I mean, that almost itself is enough to tempt me bringing him in, because no one would blink an eye if he kind of gets 120, right? Meany, I think, is, you know, surprisingly for a centre wing, obviously got the goal kicking, which helps raise his floor, but he's been super consistent, and you just can't bank on Pappenhausen's return this season at all. If it happens, then you cross that bridge. But you know, Melbourne will always score points. Pennacini's got solid base, but I just don't think he's a focal point enough of the Parramatta attack. And Sivo is a focal point, but his base has just absolutely fallen off a cliff this year. So, you know, he's always been a little bit rocks and diamonds, but it's to the extreme this year. So, yeah, if it's in terms of the run home, I'd probably put Meany, then Mulitalo, Pennacini, and Sivo. So just for the sake of disagreeing and desperately trying to be Meany's number one fan again to reclaim the spot, I'll put Meany ahead. Gramsy, Discord legend, he's got a question for us. Who are your final team fullbacks for the run home? Oh, God. And apart from the two you'll have, who are your three best pod options? So Wilf's kind of posited that he'd have Turbo in ASAP after round 20. Gutho, keep around till round 23. We mentioned that he'll hit a wall around about then. And then it's a bit of a crapshoot, mate. Who are your two fullbacks for the run home?
Yeah, look, Gramsy, asking for five. I don't know if I can get that many, mate, but me two for the run home. I think Turbo's definitely one of them, and the other one is going to be a combination of Trell if he's firing up until round 26, and then probably throw in Teddy for my head-to-head finals if I'm in any, hopefully. But in terms of, like, I just, Troll's going to be pretty well owned when he gets back. Turbo is going to be super well owned. In terms of pods, look, I'm not as big a fan of Gutho as Wilf obviously is. I just don't think his ceiling's there. He did score well, but that was the Bulldogs. Maybe Reece Walsh, they've got a tricky bye towards the end. There's not a lot there. Look, if you bring in Ponga this week, I think there's worse people to hold till you know that Trell's back and firing, or even Teddy. But, yeah, look, I think it's Turbo and you go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I just want to call out that I'm loving the variety this year, that there are just so many options at every position. Turbo's probably, just based on pedigree in his last few games, you know, the number one option there. But for me, mate, I know you've kind of gone through the list of the fullback-only players, and that's the traditional mindset, absolutely. But I'm actually tossing around having a dual centre wing fullback in that back. And if you look at, you know, the sheer amount of them, obviously Ruben Garrick is dual, Jermaine Asako is dual, Nick Meaney's dual, CNK is dual. There's just a heap, even the Hammer, for example, you know, is a dual fullback centre wing. So having that flexibility for the run home to play matchups, you know, we talked about must-haves earlier and that expanded definition. If you've got six or seven of those so-called must-have centre wings, well, why not have one of them in your backup fullback spot and then play on matchups for the run home?
Yeah, definitely not the traditional way, right? We've always wanted sort of two fullbacks. They were supposedly the high upside guys, but Asako's averaging huge. Garrick, we know what he can do. So, look, there's sillier things to do, I think, mate.
Yeah, right now I've got Taruva in my backup fullback spot. I mean, the bloke's averaging 50, could be worse. He's certainly not a final team guy, but I've seemingly done all right by managing to flash people in and out of that backup fullback spot. But, guys, gone through plenty of details. We've crunched numbers. We've gone deep on the strategy, probably not so deep on the captains, but that's by virtue of the kind of week that it is. Any last words, mate, before we get out for the week?
Nothing special. There's not a lot of high quality football games to watch this week. Maybe the Newcastle Sydney. Hopefully the Roosters can bounce off this week, make a push to the finals. But look, I wouldn't be going out of my way to sit in front of all five games this week.
No, probably spend a bit of time with your family, have a bit of a mid-season Supercoach break if you can. But I'm a degenerate. I'll be sitting down. I've got the VCR being currently on Joey Manu, hoping for a bit of hero ball, mate. So I'll be joining you, no doubt. But I think that's it for the podcast for the week. Again, shout out to all our patrons, all the champs in the Discord. Make sure you, if you want to be part of it, to jump on the Patreon as well. But otherwise, good luck this week and go Queensland.